Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Sequel Communications earnings call for the results of the fourth quarter and full year 2013 conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during today's conference, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would like to introduce your host for today's conference, Mr. Pete Able, Senior Vice President of Communications. Mr. Able, please begin.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to this discussion of the fourth quarter and full year 2013 results for Sequel Communications Holdings, One, LLC, and its subsidiaries, which do business as Suddenlink Communications. Before we get started this morning, we'd like to remind you that certain statements made during this conference call might be considered forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Act of 1995. Those statements are subject to the various risks and uncertainties described in our annual report, which is posted to our website. These risks and uncertainties could cause actual future results to differ materially from the results expressed or implied by any forward-looking statements made on this call. The information discussed today will be based on our earnings release for the period ended December 31, 2013. Both our earnings release and annual report have been posted to the investor relations section of our website at suddenlink.com. The release compares actual and pro forma financial and operating results for the four quarters and full years of 2013 and 2012. Today, our presenters will focus their comments on year-over-year pro forma results for the fourth quarter. The pro forma information they discuss today includes the acquisition and contribution of all of the capital stock of Xcel Communications on November 15, 2012, and excludes the impact of immaterial asset divestitures in 2012, as if those transactions had been consummated on January 1, 2012. These pro forma adjustments do not include the acquisition of certain systems from Northland because that acquisition did not close until January 2, 2014. With that, I'll now turn the call over to our CEO, Jerry Kent. Jerry?
Thanks, Pete. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us. Sequel Communications delivered a very strong year in 2013, including recording our largest net gain in customer relationships during the fiscal year. As you may recall, last summer, we outlined a series of strategic initiatives designed to grow the market share of our core services. Those investments are delivering returns, as reflected in the momentum that continued in the fourth quarter. We saw dramatic improvement in PSUs, adding 21,400 in the fourth quarter of 2013 compared to a net loss of 6,200 in the year-ago period. Importantly, we saw improvement in each of the PSU categories. Video unit losses of 8,600 in the fourth quarter of 2013 were approximately half of what they were in the year-ago period. Internet units grew by more than 20,000, a 151% improvement over the year-ago period. Phone units grew by more than 9,500, a better than 400% improvement over the fourth quarter of 2012. Turning to RGUs, we had a total of approximately 3.62 million at December 31, an increase of more than 96,000 units in the trailing 12 months, representing 2.7% annual growth. Including commercial services, we added nearly 110,000 RGUs in 2013, up 3% over year-end 2012. For the full year 2013, we recorded a net gain of 9,000 customer relationships, which is more than two times greater than the customer relationship net gains we achieved in each of the prior two years. We also achieved our objective of maintaining robust ARPU growth, setting another Suddenlink record of $156.62, an increase of more than $13, or 9.2% over year-end 2012. We really believe the investments and focus on growing our customer counts will contribute to the long-term growth of the company. As evidenced, our fourth quarter 2013 revenue increased to $556.6 million, and full year revenue reached $2.18 billion. Both figures are up nearly 6% over the comparable periods in 2012. Fourth quarter adjusted EBITDA, after non-recurring expenses, was $218.9 million, a 14.1% increase over the year-ago period. Free cash flow in the fourth quarter of 2013 was $74.3 million, an increase of $20.3 million, or 38%, over the year-ago period. Compared to the full year of 2012, our 2013 adjusted EBITDA before non-recurring expenses increased 7% to $847.5 million. After non-recurring expenses, full-year adjusted EBITDA increased 10% to $839.6 million. Free cash flow increased 61% to $215.7 million, reflecting the accelerated growth that we expected after wrapping up Project Imagine in late 2012. Now, in addition to our residential success, we continue to maintain considerable momentum in our commercial lines of business. Fourth quarter total commercial revenue of $77.5 million increased 12.7% year-over-year, including 19.6% year-over-year growth in our commercial high-speed data, on-net carrier services, and telephone revenues combined. Even as we continue to achieve strong growth in our commercial services, we still have significant upside in this area given the investments we made, the relatively limited CLEC competition we face in our markets, an estimated $1.1 billion being spent by businesses on communication services in these markets. Our carrier business also continues to perform exceptionally well, with more than 1,360 fiber to the tower tenants in billing as of December 31st, and that's an increase of 70% over the number in billing at the end of the fourth quarter of 2012. With carriers rolling out high bandwidth services, we believe fiber to the tower has great potential for additional revenue generation, and Tom will provide more details on this important business segment in his remarks. With respect to our capital and operational investments to bring all phone operations in-house, which we've discussed on past calls, I'm happy to report that we're on schedule to complete those migrations by the end of this year. Operation Reliant, the internal name for this initiative, will significantly reduce our annual phone expenses. On January 2, 2014, we completed the acquisition of three cable systems from Northland Communications for $40.3 million using cash on hand. The systems are located in our largest state, Texas, and serve more than 12,000 residential and commercial customers. Thanks for your time this morning. We really appreciate it. I'll now turn the floor over to Tom McMillan, our Chief Operating Officer, to provide additional perspective on our fourth quarter operating results. Tom.
Thanks, Jerry, and good morning, everyone. As Jerry noted, at December 31, we had nearly 3.62 million RGUs, an increase of 96,400 units year over year. And we finished the fourth quarter with more than 2.75 million PSUs for a net gain of 65,200 units in the trailing 12 months. On basic video, we ended the fourth quarter with approximately 1.18 million customers. On digital video, we ended the fourth quarter with nearly 869,000 customers, up more than 10,000 over the third quarter, and a gain of more than 31,000 units, or 3.7%, in the trailing 12 months. Digital penetration of basic video customers continues to increase, and at the end of the fourth quarter was 73.8%, up from 69.1% a year ago. Along with our annual growth in digital video, we added more than 14,000 DVR customers over the last 12 months, an annual growth rate of 3.6%. DVR penetration of digital customers stood at 46.7% at the end of the fourth quarter. We added more than 23,000 HD customers in the fourth quarter and nearly 88,000 in the past 12 months, representing 15% year-over-year growth, bringing HD penetration of digital customers to 77.6%. That's up from 70% a year ago. Our sell-in rate of HD to new digital customers was 91.4% in the fourth quarter. Total penetration of advanced digital video services, either DVR or HD customers, stood at 79% of digital customers at the end of the fourth quarter. This was up from 71.6% at the end of the fourth quarter 2012. We finished 2013 with approximately 1.06 million high-speed internet customers, up more than 20,000 over the previous quarter and up more than 57,000 or 5.7% in the trailing 12 months. As a result, residential data penetration of estimated homes passed was 35.3%, up from 33.9% a year ago. At year-end, approximately 8 of every 10 high-speed Internet customers had download speeds of 15 meg or higher. Fueling this is our continued success of selling in faster broadband services to new customers, offering market-leading 30, 50, and 107 meg download speeds in more areas. In the fourth quarter, our new customer selling rate of these 30 meg or higher services was 23%. That's nearly two times the selling rate in the fourth quarter of 2012. At the same time, each month we are successfully upgrading thousands of existing customers to higher speed tiers. A complement to our high-speed internet service is Suddenlink Wi-Fi at Home. During the most recent quarter, 50% of our new high-speed internet connects also purchased this service, as we added nearly 19,000 Suddenlink Wi-Fi at Home customers. In the trailing 12 months, Wi-Fi at Home grew more than 44%, with a net gain of nearly 82,000 units, bringing our total customers with this service to approximately 267,000. On telephony, we finished the quarter with more than 513,000 customers, up nearly 10,000 units during the quarter. During the trailing 12 months, we added nearly 42,000 units for an 8.8% increase. As a result, residential telephony penetration reached 20% of estimated telephone homes passed for the first time. As of the end of the fourth quarter, total customer relationships were more than 1.38 million. With an increase of 9,000, last year became our fourth straight year of customer relationship gains, and as Jerry mentioned, our gains in 2013 more than doubled those we experienced in either of the past 2 years. Lower margin video customer losses continue to be offset by a net gain of nearly 13,000 non-video higher margin customers during the fourth quarter, and a gain of more than 40,000 or 16.3% in the trailing 12 months. Our unit success, particularly in the broadband and phone, was aided by a 20% triple play selling rate to new customers. That's up approximately 50% from our triple play selling rate in the fourth quarter of 2012 and speaks to the success we are having with our bundled offers and sales channels. On the commercial side of our business, our more than 57,000 commercial internet customers at December 31 resulted from adding approximately 5,400 customers in the trailing 12 months, representing more than 10% growth. Even more impressive, over the same period, we added 7,700 commercial phone customers, ending 2013 with 31,800, and accelerated our growth rate to 32%. We also continue to see record-setting gains in our carrier services group. In fact, in 2013, we set a record by completing nearly 600 fiber-to-the-tower installs, a 23% increase over 2012. By year end, as Jerry noted, we had successfully completed and initiated billing for more than 1,360 fiber to the tower tenants, which is up 70% from year end 2012. We have another 265 tower tenants on signed contracts and in the process of being installed, as well as additional tenant opportunities in various stages of the sales process. At the same time, existing tenants continue to request bandwidth upgrades. I'd like to single out a couple of other initiatives briefly before closing. From an operational execution standpoint, we continue to have success with improving our customer experience by reducing the number of customer contacts and service calls. During the fourth quarter, the number of customer contacts handled by customer service agents was down nearly 8% from the same period last year. And the number of truck rolls we completed for service calls during all of 2013 declined nearly 6% over the prior year. That's a reduction of more than 47,000 truck rolls. And from an e-commerce standpoint, we have previously mentioned our investment in the online purchasing experience, and the traffic stats and sales volume from this channel continue to improve. Since launching this effort in August, we've seen a nearly 60% increase in online shopping activity and a 30% increase in connects from this sales channel. We have every expectation that our e-commerce channel will continue to grow in the months and years to come as we continue to further invest in our online tools. Thank you for your time today. I'd now like to turn things over to our CFO, Mary Medusky, for a closer look at our financial results during the quarter. Mary?
Thanks, Tom. Today I'll discuss the financial results for Sequel Communications Holdings 1 and subsidiaries for the fourth quarter of 2013, adding to what Jerry and Tom have already provided. I'll also discuss our balance sheet and liquidity position. As of December 31st, the face amount of our debt outstanding was approximately $4.7 billion, comprised of $1.5 billion of 6.375% senior notes at Sequel Communications Holdings 1, $750 million of 5.125% senior notes at Sequel Communications Holdings 1, $2.46 billion of senior secured term loans at Sequel Communications LLC, and $21.4 million of capital leases and other obligations at Sequel Communications LLC. At December 31st, we had approximately $192 million of cash on hand and approximately $480.5 million available under our $500 million revolving credit facility after taking into account $19.5 million of outstanding letters of credit. Our secured bank leverage at December 31st, 2013, as calculated under our credit agreement, was 2.8 times, which is in compliance with our bank covenant with significant cushion. Also at December 31st, our total leverage calculated under the indentures governing both of 6.375% and 5 1/8 senior notes was 5.42 times. At December 31st, we had no interest rate hedges in place, and the weighted average cost of our debt was 4.67%. The proportion of fixed-rate notional debt was 48%. Based on our 2013 results, our term loan agreement requires us to make an excess cash flow recapture payment of approximately $73 million by April 30th, 2014. Now for a few comments on our fourth quarter financial results, pro forma for certain small acquisitions and divestitures during 2012. As mentioned, fourth quarter 2013 revenue was $556.6 million, representing growth of 5.9%, or approximately $31 million over the fourth quarter of 2012. ARPU was $156.62, an increase of 9.2% over the fourth quarter of the previous year. Our increase in total revenue for the fourth quarter of 2013 versus the fourth quarter of 2012 was largely attributable to increases in residential high-speed internet, telephone, advanced digital video, and advertising revenue, as well as growth in revenues from our commercial business, including carrier services. Video service revenues increased 2.3% due primarily to video rate increases, higher broadcast retransmission and franchise fee revenue, and customer growth in our digital and advanced video services, including converter rental revenue for high-definition and DVR-capable digital converters. Offsetting this growth, in part, were year-over-year basic video customer losses and the impact of digital customers purchasing fewer digital tiers of service on average. High-speed internet service revenues rose 14.8% due primarily to an increase in residential high-speed internet customers, growth in home networking revenues, the impact of residential rate increases, growth in our commercial high-speed data services to small and medium-sized businesses, and growth in carrier services, including fiber to the tower, optical internet, and transport revenues. Telephone service revenues grew 3.3%, primarily due to an increase in our commercial telephone services to small and medium-sized businesses, offset in part by bundle discounts to residential customers. Advertising revenues increased 1.9% due primarily to higher volume automotive and retail advertising, offset in part by lower political advertising. Excluding the effect of political, advertising revenues would have increased 9.9%. Other revenues increased 3.3% due primarily to increases in wire maintenance, security service, and power development revenues. Our commercial lines of business embedded in the video, high-speed internet, telephone service, and other revenues described earlier are comprised of commercial and bulk video, commercial high-speed data, commercial telephone, and on- and off-net carrier services. Representing approximately 14% of total company revenue for the fourth quarter 2013, commercial revenues of $77.5 million grew 12.7% versus the fourth quarter of 2012. Commercial high-speed data, on-net carrier services, and telephone revenue grew 19.6% year-over-year on a combined basis. Operating costs and expenses increased 1.2% in the fourth quarter of 2013 versus the fourth quarter of 2012, primarily due to higher programming and broadcast retransmission consent expenses, increased net compensation and employee-related costs, and increased marketing costs. These were offset in part by decreased non-recurring expenses. The fourth quarter of 2013 included approximately $1.2 million of non-recurring expenses, which are primarily associated with costs of our efforts to move our telephone platform in-house. Before the impact of non-recurring expenses, adjusted EBITDA for the fourth quarter 2013 was $220.1 million, an increase of 3.8% compared to the same quarter last year. This resulted in an adjusted EBITDA margin of 39.5%. After the impact of non-recurring expenses, adjusted EBITDA for the fourth quarter 2013 was $218.9 million, an increase of 14.1% compared to the same quarter last year. This resulted in an adjusted EBITDA margin of 39.3%. Note that adjusted EBITDA for the fourth quarter 2012 was impacted by $20.1 million of non-recurring expenses primarily associated with our November 2012 acquisition. Income from operations for the fourth quarter 2013 was $52.2 million, a decrease of 9.1% compared to $57.5 million for the fourth quarter 2012. This is a result of increased depreciation and amortization expenses, offset in part by improved operating results and fewer non-recurring expenses than in the fourth quarter of 2012. Net income for the fourth quarter 2013 was $4.3 million, compared to a net loss of $67.4 million for the fourth quarter 2012. Net loss for the fourth quarter 2012 was impacted by the loss on extinguishment of debt and other acquisition-related expenses not present in 2013. Capital expenditures for the full year 2013 were $371.4 million, compared to $348.8 million in 2012, and within our publicly stated range of $365 million to $375 million. Capital expenditures amounted to 17% of revenue in each year. During 2014, we expect capital expenditures to be approximately $360 million to $370 million, which does include capital expenditures for the acquired Northland systems and our migration to our internal telephone platform. This guidance could increase as a result of success-based opportunities in our commercial and carrier businesses or from a decision to significantly increase internet speeds company-wide. Free cash flow for the fourth quarter 2013 was $74.3 million, compared to $54 million for the same period 2012, a 38% increase. Free cash flow for the full year 2013 was $215.7 million, compared to $133.6 million for the full year 2012, representing a 61% increase. The increase in free cash flow for the fourth quarter and full year 2013 compared to the same periods in 2012 is primarily due to improved year-over-year operating results and decreased cash interest expense, offset in part by increased capital expenditures. Now I'll conclude my remarks and turn the call back over to the operator to facilitate questions. I would like to remind everyone that this is a public call and we will generally refrain from discussing information other than what is disclosed in our earnings release and quarterly report. Operator?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star, then the number one on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one. Our first question comes from the line of Jason Kim with Goldman Sachs. Your line is open.
Great, thanks. For Jerry, to start things off, just wanted to get your take on the Comcast Time Warner Cable transaction from your perspective in terms of how you think it will impact the cable industry and what your appetite would be to potentially look at some of the divestitures that could be coming to the market from those two guys.
Yeah, Jason, it's interesting times in the industry, that's for sure. There's pluses and minuses to the potential acquisition of Time Warner by Comcast. Obviously, we still have to see where the regulatory process occurs. From a positive perspective, really, Comcast right now is a 20,000-pound gorilla, and they're going to be the 30,000-pound gorilla, so I'm not sure a lot changes from that perspective. I think that having an operator that is obviously the industry leader in terms of size, and if they, as they say, want to help promote the rest of the industry and have common platforms, do nationwide commercial business services, I think that can be, clearly a positive for the business. We'll have to see how the regulatory process goes, but we're hoping that any conditions apply to Comcast and not to the rest of the industry. If it somehow does apply to the rest of the industry, that could be a negative. It's unforeseen how the impact will be on vendors and programming cost. Not sure a lot will change, but potentially if Comcast has more market power, the vendors could be looking to others to help make up any shortfall that they would have. So it'll be an interesting time. From our perspective, though, we don't compete against Comcast. We don't compete against Time Warner in our markets. We compete against larger companies like Verizon and AT&T and, very large companies that have sizable balance sheets. But we continue with, our entrepreneurial way of doing business and our investments in our people, our technology and our services have continued to allow us to generate industry results that are well within anyone else in the industry, and we don't see that changing, and so we view it going forward it's still an opportunity for us to do well in our markets. In terms of acquisitions, we don't comment on specific acquisitions, but we kick a lot of tires. We are interested in continuing to grow the company if the systems make strategic sense and if they come at a value that makes sense to us. And so we'll continue to look at acquisitions as they become available.
Great, thanks. And then you mentioned that you may decide to increase your data speed meaningfully across your footprint. And what are your current speeds now in general, and what sort of increases are you talking about potentially thinking about? And if you do decide to increase the speeds, how should we think about the potential impact to your CapEx budget for 2014?
Right. So let me first say nothing is planned, right? So nothing is definitive in this area. Our current speeds, our flagship speed is a 15-meg service. We also offer 30, 50, and 107 meg speeds, and as we mentioned, more and more customers are taking those higher tier of speeds. We've seen accelerated growth as of late in our broadband business. We continue to be the market leader in each of the markets that we serve, And we expect that to continue, and we expect to continue to be the leader from a broadband perspective and in all of the markets that we serve. We are obviously watching what others are doing, both those we compete with as well as our peers, in terms of moving their speeds up, and we'll continue to keep an eye on that and make sense of what that might mean in the markets that we serve. As you recall, in upwards of 90% or more of our markets, we compete with traditional DSL, and so we'll obviously keep that in mind when we consider what we do, if anything, with our internet speeds going forward. Historically, every so many years, we've made a point of, in some cases, doubling our speeds, and so I would expect into the future those kinds of patterns to continue.
And regarding the impact on our capital expenditures of a plan once made, it's premature for that. No decisions have made where and if, you know, we would increase our speeds to maintain our industry market leadership. I will point out that we have accelerating free cash flow growth and certainly the capacity to make those investments should we decide to make them.
You know, let me just follow up with one thing. We do have a system in the suburbs of Austin, Texas. We're watching Austin. We don't know if it's representative of the rest of the markets. But when you see what AT&T is announcing, what Google Fiber is doing, what Grande, Time Warner, you know, we're just watching that market and looking to see if it's an anomaly or trends. And so that's on our minds.
Okay, thank you. And just one quick housekeeping. You cited that $50 million of costs through early 2015 for the phone migration initiative. Now, how should we think about the split between OPEX and CAPEX?
We have stated in our K that's been released that about $30 million of the $50 million is in non-recurring OPEX and $20 million in CAPEX, and that would be our total investments in 2013 and 14.
Great, thank you.
To project completion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Mike Pace with J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Maybe one for Tom. I guess the unit strength in the fourth quarter was very good. And I guess I'm curious, was it something that you guys were doing differently on the marketing or the message delivery in the quarter, or did you see a pullback from competitors? And then while I'm on the topic, I guess, you know, we've seen the first couple of months of 2014, if you give any color on how trends in at least January and February, have that continued? Are you accelerating or seeing any slowdowns?
Right. So, Mike, you may recall that starting in the July timeframe of last year, we really started a concerted effort of taking our marketing and offer tactics directly to the competition, starting with satellite operators. And so we have some competitive switch offers out there today that we're seeing some pretty significant success on. And as well as our bundled sell-in. So those offers are driving, as we noted, much higher bundled sell-in, both double play and triple play. And I think with people enjoying our higher speeds, 30 meg and above, we're getting more traction in those services as well.
And e-commerce, I think strengthening our website has definitely had an impact and will continue to have an impact. In terms of the first, little over 2 months of the quarter, we can't really comment. It is a public call about specific numbers and too much on the way of trends. But at the risk of repeating myself, I was asked this once a while back, about a year or two ago, and my answer will be the same as it is today. We're in St. Louis. It's 74 degrees today. light breeze, it's sunny, it's beautiful, and that's pretty much the way our business is going for the first quarter.
Well, that's great. If you could send some of that weather our way, that'd be great. So, I guess for Mary, just on the margins in the fourth quarter, I think this is the first quarter of the year where you saw a year-over-year decline in margins, even excluding some one-time items. So can you just talk about what you're seeing there? Was the gross activity kind of a pickup in costs in the quarter?
Right. So I'd say there are four buckets or three buckets of expense categories to note, you know, and one revenue item to note. First of all, I had mentioned, you know, this fourth quarter was not a political quarter, and so, you know, our advertising revenue didn't benefit in a large way from political in the fourth quarter of 2013 as it did in the fourth quarter of 12. Regarding programming expenses were up, as you can imagine. You know, programming expense per basic sub is trending in, you know, up, and we saw the impact of that in the fourth quarter. Our comp expense was up versus the fourth quarter of last year, headcount related, and our marketing expense to facilitate some of the activity that Tom mentioned was also up in the fourth quarter over the year-ago quarter. So those were the primary buckets.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Davis Hebert with Wells Fargo Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking the questions. I want to ask a question about the commercial sector. Obviously, it makes up, I think it was around 13 or 14% of revenue. Wanted to ask, do you feel like your best opportunity is still organic, or, you know, would you have an appetite for, you know, a pure play commercial player out maybe in or out of footprint from an M&A perspective?
We still think we're in about the second or third inning of a nine-inning baseball game in terms of organic growth for our commercial business services. We still see a long runway of growth ahead of us. That being said, we certainly would look at opportunities that would allow us to enhance the offerings to our commercial customers, and that would either be in or outside the market.
Okay, that's helpful. And how long are your typical contracts, and are they still skewed towards the SMB space, or are you moving more toward the, you know, the higher value customer as well?
Right. So most of our contracts have on average a three-year time frame. We are skewed mainly SMB. We do have some regional players and some approaching enterprise-level type players. Those are fewer. Obviously, with the markets we serve, as Jerry noted in his comments, we have much less CLEC competition. It's typically the incumbent LEC that we're competing with. And when you're targeting small and medium businesses, we believe that our attention to those customers is much greater than those of our competitors.
Okay, that's helpful. And if you could comment on the Comcast Netflix agreement, what do you think this means for the rest of the space? Is this something you're looking at as well, the paid peering?
Yeah, I think Comcast has paid peering relationships with, as far as I know, I've been told with numerous providers, and this is my take is this is yet one more of those.
Yeah, it's a peering relationship, and we have a peering relationship with a number of large companies, including Netflix.
Okay, great. And then can you talk about the security product? Is that, you know, is that something that you're seeing a lot of success with?
We have over 20,000 security customers today, over 23,000, I believe. And that has been a business. We made a concerted effort in 2013 to really do business as usual from a security standpoint. We have not gone heavy into home automation at this point. We do offer cameras and email and text notifications, et cetera, but we have not moved to a home automation platform. We are considering that in the next 12 months, and we'll be taking a harder look at that. We believe, as we've said on these calls before, that that's a natural business for us. We've talked to lots of customers, and their feedback has been it would be natural for Suddenly to be a provider of those types of services to them. So it's a business that we believe in. It just has not grabbed the lion's share of our attention in 2013, as we were busy doing many other things that were live, real, and on our plate at the time.
Okay, thank you for that. And last question for me is, you know, I know you haven't historically given a leverage target per se, but how would you look at balancing your current balance sheet versus distributions to the sponsors? Is there anything to expect this year from that perspective?
Well, we certainly don't want to give forward-looking statements. We will mention that our investors, this is a new investment for them. You know, it's barely a little bit more than a year. And so our investors, just like this management team, are very motivated to grow the company. And we have always used leverage prudently. We organically de-lever about 3/4 of a turn every year. If you look back year over year over year, you see that we can consistently do that. We're comfortable managing where we're managing. You know, we don't give out leverage targets, but we are a pretty good governor on what our overall leverage should be and how we can manage through that.
Great. Thanks again for the time.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. And I'm showing no further questions at this time.
Thank you, operator, and thank you, everyone, for your continued interest. We appreciate it, and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This does conclude the program, and you may all disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.